We left off, we finished Daf Nun Aleph yesterday. We're up to the Mishnah on the very top of Daf Nun Beis Amun Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Yisomim Shesam Chuetzel Balabayis, if Yisomim find themselves relying on a particular Balabayis, on an adult who's going to take care of their business affairs, going to take care of their monetary issues and controls their estate, or their father appoints for them an apotropos to take care of their financial affairs, the guy who's taking care of them has to take maestros from their fruits. Now, what's going to emerge from our Mishnah is that there are three ways a person can have an apotropos. One type of apotropos is that the father appoints an apotropos before he dies to take care of the yisomim. Another type of apotropos is that Beis Din appoints an apotropos before the father dies to take care of after the father dies to take care of the yisomim. And the third type of apotropos is sort of like an accidental apotropos. He wasn't appointed by anybody, but he had volunteered on his own, and the children trusted him, and they followed whatever his advice, and ultimately he took over control of their business issues. In the first line of the Mishnah does not discuss a Beis Din appointed apotropos, but does discuss the other two types of apotropsim. Right, so we're told in the Mishnah that either of these two types of apotropsim for sure take maestros from the fruits. The obvious question then has to become, what about an apotropos that Beis Din appointed? Does he also take maestros from the fruits? And if so, why doesn't it mention it in the Mishnah? And if not, why not? Why would he be any different than anybody else? So the Rashba writes that it's a kal v'chomer, that an apotropos that Beis Din appointed, of course, is allowed to take maestros from the fruits. Meaning the chiddush over here is that the guy, it doesn't own this stuff, he's just taking care of it for the children, and still he's allowed to take from them in order to give to some maestros. So if someone who's not appointed by Beis Din is allowed to do that, kal v'chomer Beis Din, which normally works through the power of Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, of course is going to be allowed to do that. So it seems the Rashba says that it would be a davar pashut that a Beis Din appointed apotropos would be permitted to also take maestros. Now the Aderes writes over here that the reason why the guy has to take maestros, it's not just that he's allowed to, it's that he's chayiv to take maestros, is if he doesn't take maestros, then the children won't be able to eat. So if they're not going to be able to eat, it's obviously for their benefit. The only way they're going to be able to eat the produce that their own fields produce is if someone takes the chumas or maestros from the produce. So that's necessary for them to eat. The problem with that approach is that the halach is kotan ochel nevelos l'teavon ain bezin mitzuvan l'afrisho, that if you see a child eating something that he should not be eating, then Beis Din is not responsible to stop the child from doing so. Meaning, there's a mitzvah of chinuch on a parent to be mechanech a child. But you see someone else's kid doing something, you don't have a mitzvah of chinuch on someone else's kid. So why is it that we have to make sure, and we're talking about a katan over here, why is it that a katan, when we're talking about a katan also that's not a gil chinuch, we're talking about a four-year-old, could be that he's not even a gil chinuch, so even forgetting chinuch, he's just a katan ochel nevelos, why would it be that we would have any issue, that we would have any reason to have to take his trumas and maestros for him? Let him eat stuff that's not mesukan. Why is there a problem with him eating stuff that's not mesukan? He's not chayv mitzvos, he's not even chayv chinuch yet possibly, we could be talking about even a very young child, he's not chayv in chinuch, so what's the whole issue over here? So if you recall, we've discussed on a few occasions in the past that when it comes to children eating non-kosher food, there are three issues really. There's the issue of chinuch, which as we said might not apply at all over here because we're talking about a child who's too young for chinuch, who's not higel chinuch. There's the issue of someone of losachilim, an issue of a dinda oraisa, where the Gemara darshins that you're not allowed to feed a child an isser, that even if the child is not yet chayv mitzvos, even if it's an infant, to take a davar aser and feed it to the child is an isser of losachilim. And there's an issue of timtum alev that the poskim discussed, that when someone eats non-kosher food, the assumption is that it causes some level of closing his heart, of spiritually hurting him in some way, and that's called timtum alev. Now, the exact parameters of all these isurim I discuss in my article on kashrus for kids from the RJJ Journal, but we're not going to get into all of them, but just which ones are shaykh here. Chinuch might or might not be shaykh over here, depending on the age of the child. Timtum alev may or may not be shaykh, depending on the issue of whether timtum alev is only when something is technically not kosher, or is it also when something hasn't been fixed yet, or isn't being eaten in the right context? I mean, over here, it's fruits and vegetables. It's definitely kosher. It just hasn't been mesukan yet. For instance, is there timtum alev when a child eats outside of the sukkah? Is there timtum alev when a child eats fleishigs during the 9 days? Kosher foods, but foods eaten in the wrong context. So that would depend on that issue, which is a broader discussion than we can have right now. And the third issue of los achilim would depend on how directly they're actually feeding him. That's only an issue to feed a child. If the child takes it on his own, it's not an issue of los achilim. It also might not apply to yisurim drabanan. But when you have an issue of daraisa, which tevel certainly is, and assuming the apotropos is feeding the children, he's taking care of the children, he's telling them, here, eat this, and what to eat, what not to eat, he's taking care of everything for them. So if that's the case, it would seem that you clearly have that issue over here. So even if you don't have chinuch, you don't understand why it would be necessary for him to take trumas and maaser so that he doesn't violate los achilim. Says the Mishnah Vayitra, apotropos sheminohu avi yisomim yishava. If the father of the yisomim appointed an apotropos, the apotropos is going to have to take a shavua that he hasn't kept anything for himself, that he's dealt faithfully, honestly, and in their best interest. Minuhu beizdin lo yishava. But if beizdin appointed the apotropos, he's not going to need to take a shavua. Abishal omer chiluf hadvar. Abishal says, no, it's the reverse. The Gemara is going to explain the svara for each side of the machlokas. Why would you say it's more likely that we're going to make the apotropos that was appointed by the father to take a shvua? And why would we say it's more likely that we're going to appoint the apotropos that was appointed by Beis Din to take a shvua? But notice again, we're missing one kind of apotropos from the second half of the Mishnah. What about the Yisom and Shesamchoy Tzalbal Abayis? What about that kind of apotropos? No one says a word about whether he takes a shvua or not. So in terms of that, that's it, machlokas Rishonim, whether he's chayiv a shvua or not chayiv a shvua. All the Rishonim hold that there's no machlokas tanaim about Yisom and Shesamchoy Tzalbal Abayis regarding a shvua. That's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Because all the Rishonim hold that all the Tanaim, both who was it, Abba Shaul and the Tanakama, would agree that the halacha is going to be the same. Would agree on what the halacha is going to be by Yisom and Shesamchoy Tzalbal Abayis. Question is, what is that halacha? So the Raivad and the Ramban write that certainly in their Hagos on the Rif, and it's quoted in the Rush as well, that certainly we're not choshesh that someone is going to be that someone who took care of the Yisomim on his own and did this out of total generosity. So we're not choshesh that he's going to go and he's going to start taking things for himself. Because in came Mishanun lo ra tachas tova. Here he is out of the goodness of his heart. No one even asked him. No one told him. And he's got with tremendous self-sacrifice, taking care of the Yisomim, to then demand that he take a Shavua, that's not right. So for sure, the apotropos that had nothing to gain from this, nor was he asked to do this, certainly is going to get off without a Shavua. The only machlokas is the apotropos that was appointed by the father of the Beis Din, where A, he was asked to do it, and B, he stands to gain from it. The Gemara is going to point out that he gains a reputation as a trustworthy person when he was asked, when he was invited by Beis Din or by the father to take care of the children. So that will help, that will enhance his reputation as a trustworthy person and will help him in other dealings. So such a person might have to take a shvua, but if we're talking about someone who's doing it voluntarily, he would not have to take a shvua. The Rush disagrees. The Rush says, no, just the opposite. A guy does it on his own. How do we know who this guy is? A guy goes over to Yisom and says, children, you want me to take care of you? He might be taking advantage of them. So someone who does it on his own certainly would have to take a shvua. Otherwise, anyone will just go over to Yisom and start taking care of them and taking whatever they need, taking whatever he wants to take from them. So certainly someone like that would have to take a shvua. So that's the machlokes Rishonim. Says the Gemara, Uriminhu. Atem velo shutfin, atem velo arisin, atem velo apotropin, velo atorim nesheinu shalo. That when the pasuk talks about taking truma, the pasuk says, "Kein tarimu gam atem." Right, so we darshan from the word atem, atem velo shutfin, that you can only take your own truma from your own produce, not if you're shutfin to take from the other guys, from the partner stuff as well. You can only cover your own side of things. Right, a person can't be torim on chelik chaveru, Rashi says, on his friend's chelik as well. Atem velo arisin, if you're an aris, you're a sharecropper, you can't take from the chelik shel bal habayis, you can't be mafresh truma for the chelik shel bal habayis. Atem v'lo apotropin, and also if you're an apotropis, you have no right to take truma. So v'lo atarim esheinu shalom. And the way Rashi understands that last line is it's explaining all the previous lines. Meaning we just said lo shutfin, lo arisin, lo apotropin. Meaning the problem with all of those things is that you're being atarim esheinu shalom. It's Rashi in the last wide line. Atem v'lo atarim esheinu shalom. Hach seif atayim adereisha. Klomer atem mimait atarim esheinu shalom. V'hani kulu esheinu shalom. All of these cases are cases of Einos Shalom. Then Rashi says another pshat. Inami zuvein sarach lomar zukatani. Or it could be that the mission is going and from the greatest chiddush to the least chiddush, as often does, and it's just saying that even if you're a shutaf, even if you're an artist, even if you're an apotropos, and not only that, obviously, if you're tari mesheinu shalom, based on the fact that even by shutfin aris and apotropos, you're not allowed to take trumas. So obviously, if it's not yours at all and you have no shaychus with it, you're not allowed to take truma. So it's a zuve and tzarech lomar zu. Not all the rishonim agree with Rashi. The Maharik is quoted in the Kesef Mishnah Hilchos Trumos Perek Dalid Halacha Tes that we're talking about, where you have that this last case is in fact a chiddush, and we're talking about where you find a kri ha'omed lihitarim. You find that someone has already prepared all of his produce for truma. He piled it up, he evened it out, and is just waiting for a truma to be taken. Normally, the bailim wouldn't be makbid when he was already megaladas, that he's ready to take truma, that he wants the truma to be taken. He wouldn't be makbid who takes the truma, whether it's a self-appointed shliach, someone else. So the chiddush over here is that still, you're not allowed to take the truma without the dasa bailim. Even if you know, chances are the bailim wouldn't be makbid. It's einu shalom, you need to be a direct shliach of the bailim. Anyway, but the point is, we're asking a kasha on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the apotropsin need to take truma on behalf of the children. And over here it says in the Brisa, atem velo apotropin, that the apotropsin is not allowed to take truma on behalf of the children. Some Rav Chisda lo kasha, kan lahach il kan laniach. It depends if it's produce that the children need to eat. If they need to eat, you need to take the truma so that they can eat. But kan laniach, if it's just going to be to store away, so you can put it away, and when they get older, let them take truma. Let them take the truma simaisos. When they plan on using it, you'll just put it in storage, and they'll, assuming it's not perishable, so let them get older and take care of it themselves. You don't take care of it if it's not necessary for them to be able to eat. Vatanya, we have a brisa that supports this benichus. So we have a brisa that supports this idea, this chilek between the hachil and laniach. Hapetropin torminu ma'asr and the hachil v'lo laniach. The apotropin can take trumas and maestros in order to feed the children, but not to leave the food around. Umochem lahem behema avadim shvachos, and you could sell for them animals, avadim shvachos, batim sadal sukramim, houses, fields, vineyards, lahachil, again, you can sell all that stuff on their behalf if you need the money in order to feed them, avlo laniach, but not if you're just going to put it in investments. That's not, then you're not entitled to sell all their stuff. Umorchalem, peros, yenos, shmanim, slasos, lahachil, avlo laniach. And also when it comes to fruits, wines, oils, flowers, also you can sell that in order to feed them, if you need the money to feed them, but not to put it away. Va'osnan lulav va'arav v'sukav v'tzitzis v'kaldav sheyesh lo kitzva lisuya shofar. And you're allowed to make for them from their own money a lulav arava. Now, What happened to the Esrog and the Adasim? So Lulav generally is a reference to all Dalad Minim. Arava is not a reference to the Arava Shabululav, it's the mitzvah of Chibat Arava, right? We're talking about it's a separate mitzvah. So whatever, so Lulav is the reference to all Dalad Minim, just like we make the bracha, Al Natilas Lulav, because it stands out the most, whatever it is, but that's the Lulav clearly refers to all Dalad Minim. So you can make for them a Dalad Minim, you can buy for them with their money a Dalad Minim, an Arava, Sukkah, Tzitzis, and anything that has a set amount, Lasuya Shofar, even including a shofar. Meaning the point is, anything where there's a definite amount that you need. You only need one shofar. You need a pair of tzitzis. It's not an infinite number of items that you're going to need. We know exactly what the numbers are, so then you're allowed to use their money to buy it for them. Similarly, a Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, anything that also is yesh lo kitzvah, we know exactly what they need to get by, including a megillah, you're allowed to use their money to buy for them. Now again, keep in mind, we're talking about yesomim kitanim over here. So the Ramah quotes a deya that there's no chinuch for the mitzvah of tefillin. Right, probably relates to the gufnaki issue, that a child is unable to keep a gufnaki, that it's risky, meaning unlike most mitzvahs, so, okay, you're an mitzvah v'yosi, you're volunteering to do a good thing. But by tefillin, it's not just that you're volunteering to do a good thing, you're risking doing a very bad thing, because if you can't keep a gufnaki and you can't respect the tefillin properly, it's not fair to be wearing the tefillin. So we wait till the child is actually 13. So there's such a day in Rishonim. So the Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara points out that it seems that this Gemara is a raya against that. Because we're talking about Yisomim Ketanim, and you're buying them tefillin. Obviously, if you're buying them tefillin, obviously you're buying them tefillin before his bar mitzvah. Because we're talking about Ketanim, so we see that there must be some sort of chinuch legabe the mitzvah of tefillin. It could be perhaps that you're buying him tefillin in advance of his bar mitzvah. That if he wants to have tefillin on day one when he turns 13, he needs writing tefillin. He needs to commission a sofer to write the tefillin. It takes some time to do it. It takes some time to get the tefillin prepared. So it could be while he's still a kid, you order the tefillin and you can use his money to pay for the tefillin. But in a chinami, maybe he won't wear the tefillin until his bar mitzvah. Maybe that's how they'll answer this gemara. But you cannot determine to give tzedakah from their funds, nor can you use their money to do pidyon shvuyim, v'lo kol davar she'ein lo kitzvah, nor anything else that doesn't have a set amount, lasuyi tanchumei avelim, including paying for tanchumei avelim, for being menachem avelim. Now tzedakah, Rashi says, ein lo kitzvah, tzedakah doesn't have a set amount, tabakol shaita kaimi aniyim, nimtzu nechseim kalim. Why doesn't tzedakah have a set amount? Well, whatever the guy needs. If the guy comes and he says he needs, $100, so that's what he needs, so that's the set amount. So says Rashi, no, it's not a set amount, because there are always aniyim coming, meaning you never run out of aniyim. So it's not a set amount. There'll be an indefinite parade of aniyim that will come that will need things that you're not going to be able to satisfy all of them. My kash on this was that the Gemara Maseches Ksubos says, "Mavaz v'zali vaz v'ziyosu mechomesh," specifically regarding the issue of tzedakah, and probably regarding all other mitzvahs as well, but certainly regarding the mitzvah of tzedakah, there is a set maximum that a person is supposed to give. A person has to, mitam minag or din, whatever it may be, deos and rishonim, a person has to give at least 10%, but there's a maximum. A person is not allowed to give more than 20%. And Rashi explains, why can't you be mevaz v'ziyosu mechomesh? Shemei yeyani v'yitztarich l'brios. A person is going to become poor if he gives too much, and then he's going to need to collect tzedakah. So you're not allowed to give more than 20%. Isn't that a set amount? There may not be a set amount of needs from the aniyim's perspective, but there is a set amount about how much you're going to give. So I thought maybe this Gemara is a raya to what the Chavetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed. Chavetz Chaim says in Avas Chesed, Mevazvez is only talking about when you're deciding where your money is going to go or how much you're going to spend on tzedakah, but if an ani presents himself to you, then you have a separate mitzvah. Then no matter what happens, when an ani presents himself to you, then you have to go and give him money, because then it's an isser lo saseh of lo sameh sasavavcha v'lo sikpo sasyadcha. Then you have a lo saseh of not turning away from an ani. When it comes to the mitzvah saseh of just deciding to give tzedakah, no one comes to your door and you know you have a mitzvah saseh of giving tzedakah, so you're not allowed to give more than 20%. But when an ani presents himself to you and you're dealing with mitzvahs lo saseh, then the Chafetz Chaim says it could be that you're supposed to give even more than 20%, depending on the needs of the ani. So I always thought it was tremendous chiddush, but maybe it has basis in this Gemara also, that it has basis in other places as well. Then apotropin rashayin ladun lachul v'luzakos b'nichse yisomim. An apotropin is not allowed to get involved in the din Torah on the dine mamonis issue on the yisomim's property, whether it be to benefit them or to cause trouble for them. So the zakos of my law, why can't you get involved in the din Torah in order to benefit them? Meaning, if it's going to help them out, why not? No, he's not allowed to get involved in the din Torah. That is discussion that we showed him exactly what it means over here, but it says Rashi Ein Rashan Ladun Lachuv Al Manas Lazakos Im Danu Kedel Lazakos V'Neschayvu Ein Yisom Nifsadin. It means to say is if he gets involved in the Din Torah to benefit the Yisomim, but then they paskin at the end against the Yisomim can't lose by the apotropos's participation in the Din Torah on their behalf. Vein apotron rashon limkar berachok v'ligol b'karov. The apotropos can't make a decision if they own a field that's very far away to sell the far away fields and buy closer fields for them. Berachok v'ligol b'yafa, or if there are fields that they think are very low quality, the apotropos can't make a decision to sell the low quality fields and instead buy in their place high quality fields. My time up, but why not? Those seem like sound business decisions. Says Gemara, the Dilma Mishtadfin, because we're afraid the fields are going to get ruined. And if those fields get ruined, it will turn out to have been a poor decision. Vein apotropin rashan limkar sadus v'lika chavadim. An apotropos is not allowed to sell fields in order to buy avadim for the samim. Aval mochin avadim lochin ben sadus. But he's allowed to sell avadim in order to buy fields. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you can't do either one. If the possessions of the Yisomim are currently fields, leave it as fields. If it's currently Avadim, you leave it as Avadim. My taima, Dilma lo mishafyan, because we're afraid that the fields, even if you're going to sell the Avadim to buy fields, which sounds like a more sound investment, still we're concerned that maybe there's going to be an error on the field. Someone's going to say, no, that's really mine, and it's going to start a whole tumult about the fields. It's not going to just go quietly to your possession. The apotropos is not allowed to set the avadim free, but they could sell them to other people, and the other people could set the avadim free. The eved can give his own value and go lecheirus, because it's as if you're selling him to the eved. Totally separate note. Machlokas at the end of the day, when the children grow up, do they have to make a cheshbon with the apotropos at the end to see that they didn't steal anything, see that everything was done honestly? So Tanakama says yes. Rav Shimon Gamliel says not necessary to do that. Right, Kibachronamash says Kisha Yigdulu, when the children grow up, should they make a cheshbon with them and make them take a shvua that they didn't steal anything? So that's the machlokas. Enos and apotropin nashim avadim uktanim. We don't appoint women, avadim, or children to be in apotropos. Why not? So Rashi says women because they're not generally involved in business matters, so they're likely going to be unable to take care of the best financial interests of the child. Avadim are simply not trusted, and ketanim don't have the das to be able to do it. V'mina navi yisomim rishos biyado. But if the avi yisomim appoints them as the apotropos for the child, so then he's certainly allowed to do that. They certainly do have the status of apotropos. The Rashba and the Ran quoted different gears, so not harishus biyado, but harishus biyadon, which means to say that if in the father's lifetime the father used to trust these people to take care of his children, it's not just that we're not talking about a case over here where before the father dies the father tells a woman, I want you to be the apotropos for my child after I die. No, we're talking about when the father was alive he trusted a woman to take care of the children, and now Beis Din needs to appoint an apotropos now that the father died. The father did not appoint an apotropos, but according to that Gersa, Beis Din is allowed to take the woman that they know the father had trusted and appoint that woman as the apotropos for the children. So it's an even greater chiddush. Now the Gemara is going to just tell a number of stories relating to apotropos. V'zavin Abdi. There was an apotropos in Rameir's neighborhood who used to sell the land of the Yisomim, and in place of the land, he would buy Avadim with that money. V'lo shafke Rameir. Rameir would not allow him to do so. He did not allow that practice to continue. Ach v'le b'chal me'ani laharos v'atalivnos. So Rameir saw in a dream that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, here I'm trying to destroy their possessions for whatever reasons that I have, and you're building it back up. Meaning I'm trying to allow this guy to ruin what they have. I have reasons for it. And you're going at it and you're ruining the plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So afilu achilu ashkach. Rameir still didn't care about the dream. Amar divrei chalom eslomal v'lomaridin. He says, that's dreams. Dreams don't mean anything. It's lomal v'lomaridin when you have dreams. The famous kasha that everyone asks is the Gemara in Nedarim and Daf Ches tells us, nidu b'chalom tzarech hatara, that if a person in a dream is put into a nidoy, so he requires hatara for his nidoy. So the question is, I thought the Rechalam Slaman Lomaridin, that dreams don't matter. So why do dreams matter in that context? So there's a famous Tashbetz where the Tashbetz says that it's a suffix. Divrei Chalomos is a suffix whether it's meaningful or not. Meaning some dreams are meaningful, some dreams are not. So each one has to be treated like a suffix. When you're dealing with a suffix nidui, which is a suffix iser, so you suffix daraisa luchumra, so you machmir. Over here we're dealing with a suffix in dine mamonis. Right, we're dealing with a suffik mamon. By suffik mamon, a mosim mechaver alavaraya. You try to keep the money where it is and not make the money get lost because of a mosim mechaver alavaraya. There are other gemaras that might pose a problem for that tashbetz. Rav Asher Weiss has a very nice piece on dreams and the halachic significance of dreams. I think in his sefer in Minchas Asherim Bereishis, probably around Parshas Miketz or so. He has a nice piece on dreams. Okay, there's a lot of different approaches, a lot of gemaras about it. Hanubei trade the igribu satan. There were two guys. That the Satan caused them, the Satan would incite them to kol be shimshi have a kaminatsu ba'adei adadi, that every Erev Shabbos they would get into huge fights with each other. And it's dafka on Erev Shabbos, the Achronim point out, because Shabbos itself is a Yom Menucha, and the Satan is probably less able to convince people to fight. With Shabbos comes a certain amount of rest and a certain amount of shalom v'shalva. So the Satan specifically is stronger on Machlokes on Erev Shabbos. That's when he really gets involved because he knows he's going to have a day off from being able to cause people to fight on Shabbos, so he's a little stronger on Erev Shabbos. So he would get these two people to fight every single Erev Shabbos. Ikra Meir lahasam akvinu tlasa be'shimshi adavadu shalmas. So Meir went there and he spent three Erev Shabbosos with them until he was able to make shalom with them, between them. Shamei dekamer vaydafke Rameir lahu gavra mibesi. And then he overheard the Satan saying, "Oy, Rameir has thrown the Satan out of his house." Meaning the Satan's house is he feels very at home when he's able to make machlokas. Rameir stopped the Satan from being able to make machlokas, so it's as if he threw him out of his house. Third story. There was an apotropos in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shoban Levi, davakam mazbin ara, who would sell land, vizavin ture, and would buy oxen, velo amar le velo midi, and they didn't tell him anything. They didn't stop him at all. He would sell the Yisomim's land and buy oxen with that money. Savalak Rabbi Yossi, why didn't he tell him anything? Must be because he held like Rabbi Yossi. Titania amar Rabbi Yossi, miyame lo karisi li ishti ishti, le shori shori. Rabbi Yossi says, I never called my wife ishti or my ox shori, elul ishti besi. I called my wife my house ulushori sadi, and my ox I called my field. Meaning that my wife is not just my wife, but she is the foundation of everything that goes on in my house. She is the center of everything that happens in the home, and there is no home without the wife. So I call the wife the bais. And similarly, the field is useless without the shor. That the shor is the center, is the focal point of the field. He works the field, he makes the field operate normally, and therefore the shor is just as valuable, if not more, than the field itself. So the shor is a field. You're not allowed to sell. You're not allowed to sell a field to buy avadim or to buy behemos. But a shor is not really buying a behemos; it's buying a field itself. Fourth story. There were these Yisomim that would rely on an old woman to take care of them. Havalu tursa shaklev zvintene alayu. So they took an ox and she took an ox and she sold it. Asu krovim the kameder of Nachman. Amalei maya vidita dizavna. So the relatives weren't happy that she made that decision. So they went to Rav Nachman and said, "What's going on over here? Why was she allowed to sell it?" Amalu yisom shusam kletzal balabayis tinan. So he said, "What do you mean? The Mishnah says that you Samim, an apotropos doesn't have to be a court-appointed apotropos or an apotropos appointed by the father. There is this third type of apotropos that if the Samim feel comfortable with the person and the person has on their own started to take care of them, that person also has a din of an apotropos. So she does have a din of an apotropos. So they said, no, but that's not our problem that she has a din of an apotropos. No, our problem is v'ha'iyaker. The animal went up in value since she sold it. So she didn't get as much money as she could have for it. So it was a bad decision. So he says, Bereshus l'lokeach yaker. He says, what do you want? Prices fluctuate. So she sold it a week ago, so now the price is higher. What do you want to do? That's how the market works. It's not, there's nothing you could do about that. The lokeach had a good deal. So they said, no, v'alo nikiti dami. She didn't get paid up front. So if she didn't get paid up front, so the sale shouldn't be final, shouldn't be valid yet, because she still hasn't received the money for the animal. So Malui says, Imkein, hainu d'Rav Chanan Ilai. He says, oh, if that's the case, she hasn't gotten paid. So then that's like the din of Rav Chanan Ilai bari d'yam Shmuel. Dam Rav Chanan Ilai bari d'yam Shmuel, nichse yisomen arayim kehegdish v'lamakni ala b'kaspa. That the nichse yisomen have a din of hegdish in a certain sense, in that without money changing hands, there is no kinyan. The kinyan is only when money changes hands, and therefore the kinyan is totally invalid. You're right, she can void the sale. Fifth and final story, Chamrei d'Ravana Ukva Yasma Mashkua ba'arba arba v'iyaker v'kam b'shisa shisa. That when they were selling for a yasom, so they set the price at four units of money per pound, let's say, and then it got more expensive and it ended up costing six. Asul kamed Rav Nachman, so they came to Rav Nachman. Amlu haynu Rav Chanilai Baridi, Dam Rav Chanilai Baridi Amar Shmuel nitzay yisomen arein kagdish l'makni el b'kasva. Says, well, if the price changed before money changed hands, they can still void the entire sale. Whatever it is you're selling, whether it be wine or whatever it is, doesn't matter. If you're selling something on behalf of the yisomen, if the money has not yet changed hands, they can the sale can still be voided. Just like if it were hegdish, where you can void the sale if money has not yet changed hands. So if it got more expensive, they can go back on the deal. Mashuv perim yasmi iyaker haynu d'Rav Chanilai baridi. So now the Gemara is going to go through a number of cases where the price has changed and whether or not this fits into Rav Chanilai baridi's chiddush that you're allowed to void the sale just like you are by hegdish. So the simple case: if you're mashuv perim yasmi, you did a kinyan on the yisomim's fruits that you're buying, and then the fruits went up in value, they went up in price, but you have not yet paid for it. Haynu d'Rav Chanilai baridi. That's exactly the din of Rav Chanilai baridi. The sale can be voided. The Yisom can say, give us our fruits back, and you'll have to do that because you haven't yet paid for it. Zul lo yeka chedut chamer mehegdish. If the prices went down and the buyer wants to void the sale, so then we say the koach of hedyot, any hedyot who sells something is allowed to be chozer only so long as the lokeach has not yet been moshech, hasn't yet done a meshicha, done a kinyan on the stuff. Once he's done a meshicha, he can't be chozer even if the lokeach has not yet paid the money. So look, if it went down in price and now the buyer wants to back out, too bad. The hegdish shouldn't be in a better position shouldn't be more chamer than hegdish is. The yisom stuff is considered like hegdish, and you can't void the sale. Imshichlu purely asked me if let's say the yisomim were the buyers. Let's say you did a meshicha and peros for the yisomim a yakar, and then they went up in price. So the now the other guy, the seller to the yisomim, wants to back out. We say, sorry, they already did their Mashicha. Zul, but if it went down in price, so we assume that the Yisom should be able to back out, because that's Rav Chanilai Baridi, that it's like Hegdish, that if money hasn't yet changed hands, the Yisomim are allowed to back out. No, it's not a good idea to do that for Yisomim, because if Yisomim are allowed to back out before money has changed hands, even when they're buying produce, it's not a good idea, because the Zimn and the Mitzarchi Lipiri, the Lekha to the Yavlu Adi Avizuze, because there will come a time where someone will need fruits, they're going to need food, and they're going to need to find someone who's going to be willing to sell to them, and no one is going to be willing to sell to them, because they're going to say, you know what, it's a bad deal, I'm going to make a deal with them, they're going to do a Mashiach on the Peros, and then if the Peros change in value to their benefit, they're going to try to, or to their detriment rather, they're going to try to back out on the sale. So I don't need to get involved with that. So it's going to be hard to find people who are willing to sell to Yisomim So it's not to their benefit for them to back out on deals like that. Yavi Yasmi Zuzi Apiri. If he someone paid money for the fruits, Zul, and then the fruits went down in value, Lo Yerikah Chedyot Chamer Men Hagdish, then they can retract, because again, the Kach Chedyot shouldn't be more severe than the Kach of Hagdish, so they're still allowed to retract, the Mashiach hadn't been done yet. Ayakur, if it went up in value, Savr Mina Hainad Rav Chani Loi Baridi, so we thought that should be like the din of Rav Chani Loi Baridi, and the Yisomer should be allowed to back out on it. Some of Shish Rav Davidi, Harai he would do. No, that's also bad for them, because they'll come to tell them, yeah, your wheat all got burnt up in the attic. What does that mean? Meaning if they're going to say that they wanted to be kona, if you look at Rashi, nisrufu chitchem ba'aliyah, shari kenisim b'mos, you were already kona the wheat with the money, and granted, I was still holding on to it because you didn't do a mashicha on it yet, so the fire came and I'm sorry, it burnt it all up. Meaning the guy's not going to do anything to try to save their produce from being burnt by the fire, because why should he? So he's just going to let it burn. So says Rashi, wait a second. But shouldn't the obvious kasha be that he should not be able to say something like that? Because anytime something is to the detriment of the Yisomim, we keep on saying that the Yisomim always win. That the Yisomim are always going to be able to back out if it's to their detriment. So Rashi says, Lav Milsuhu. The Kivin de Le'in Chazara Lav Bereshus Mocheru, Linin de Le'ikonami Lav Bereshus Ekaima. If we're going to say regarding backing out on the deal, it's no longer, the produce is no longer considered to be in the reshus of the seller, so when a fire comes, you can't say now for that halach it's considered to be in the reshus of a seller. The only reason it's ever considered, produce is ever considered still in the reshus of the seller regarding a fire that might start, is because he also has the benefit, the seller also has the benefit of backing out on it. So if he has the benefit of backing out, then it's considered his reshus for the fire as well. It's to his detriment that it's considered his reshus for the fire. But if he's not given that benefit, then he doesn't have that detriment either. Yavilu Zuzi Liasmi Apiri, says the Gemara Vayter. If money was given to the Yisomim for their peros, ayaker, and then the peros went up in value, lo yekal chedil chamer mehagdish. The kinyan is done. You can't back out on them. Zul savr mina. I'm sorry. The Yisomim win. Zul savr mina haynu drav chanilai baridi. If it went down in value though, then we assume that this should be the same din as Rav Chanilai Baridi. Amru Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Harohu Lidutu. No, that's a bad thing for them. The Zimn and the Mistarka Luzuze, sometimes they're going to need money. The Leka Diavlu Adi Avilu Piri. And no one's going to want to give them money until they give their peros up, meaning no one's going to be interested in doing business with them. Again, if a person knows that when you pay the Yisomim for their peros, that sale might not be final, because if the payrolls go up in value and some feel like they can make more money off of it, they're going to be able to make more money. So that then it's or rather it's going to go down in value and you're going to be stuck. So no one's going to be interested in doing business with the Yisomim, and therefore it's always to their benefit not to allow the Yisomim to back out easily. Amar Rav Ashi, Anav Rav Kahana Chasmin Nashtar Diimei Dezara Diyasmi. He says that Rav Ashi says me and Rav Kahana signed on a shtar of the Ime Dzi'ira Yasma, of Ime Dzi'ira Yasma, the Mizmana Ara Lekargo below Achrazasa, who would sell land for the Yisomim for the head tax without making a major announcement about it beforehand. That if you're selling for the purpose of the head tax, or for the purpose of providing mizonos, or for the purpose of burial, so then you're allowed to sell without making a hachraza, without announcing it and going through the normal channels, because there's simply no time to do it. So normally you would need to be machris for 30 days in advance that the sale is going to happen in order to make sure you get the best price. But this time, for these emergency situations, you don't need to make any announcement to sell land that belongs to Yisomim. What does it mean, the kvura? So why would I think you can be machriz for kvura, says Tosos. After all, if you can be makris for 30 days in order to pay for a kvura, isn't that going to leave a mace sitting there for 30 days unburied? So Tosos says, no, hapshit adein mamtinim likbar es mace. You don't wait to actually bury the guy. Adem shalmi yom achraza. Elahakom ashmalim dim lavulut sarach kvura, mokrin below achraza uporin. It's just that if you borrowed money to pay for the kvura, you're allowed to sell the land right away in order to pay back those loans. Obviously, the burial is going to happen right away. You'll pay it from by borrowing money. So the question is paying back the money, do you need to be machris? That's the Chiddush of Argamar, that you do not need to be machris. Amrit Sava, apotropos of the Asmahavi. Amrit Sava was an apotropos of Yisalmim. Also, Krovim, the Kamedra of Nachman, Amr Lei, Kalavish, Shemichsimi Asmi. So the Krovim came to Rav Nachman and said, look, he's wearing clothing. He's stealing clothing from the Yisalmim and wearing it. Amalu, Kiechid, Lishaman Mile. So he said, no, if he wants to be able to do business with people on behalf of the Yisalmim, he has to wear a nice suit. And so it's part of doing business. He can't show up in rags to go do business with people. So it's for their benefit that he's taking that suit. So they say, but wait a second. He's eating and drinking from them, and he's not a wealthy guy. What does that mean? Velo amut, he's not a wealthy guy. Says Rashi, Eino asher lasus yitzio salal mishalo umishal yisom huosa. Meaning, I see he's eating really well and he's drinking really well. I know he can't afford it with his own money. It's got to be coming from somewhere. Probably he's taking that money from the children. Rashi says, what does that mean? Lo amud means he was never evaluated. What does it mean he was never evaluated? So Rashi says, when someone is rich, people try to evaluate how much money they have. When someone is poor, no one counts your money when you're poor. People count your money when you're rich. So they were saying, below Amud, he was never evaluated, meaning he was so poor, no one ever bothered counting his money. Or it could just mean, no, everyone counts everybody else's money. People love to guess how much money other people have, even if they're poor. Lo amut just means that he was not evaluated to have a lot of money. Either way, they thought he was stealing money from the Yisalmim. So Emor Mitziashka says, who knows, maybe he found the delicious steak and fine wine on the street somewhere. So in fact, Gemara v'hakamafsid, but he's making the Yisomim lose all their money. He's doing a terrible job. He's not taking care of the properties. He's doing a horrible job. Amalu Aisili Sadi the Mafsid Valsalkine. He says, okay, you bring me proof to that, and I'll get rid of him. That for sure. If he's messing up, then you got to get rid of him. We pass, can you get rid of him? Was appointed by the father of the Yisomim, he takes a Shavua. My taima. So again, this was the machlokas in our Mishnah. Which kind of apotropos takes a Shavua? The one appointed by the Avi Yisomim or the one appointed by Beis Din? So what's the svara to say that the one appointed by the father of the Yisomim takes a Shavua? Because he loved the Yisrael and Aminei, love alei apotropos. Had it not been that he owed the father one, he never would have agreed to become an apotropos. Had he not gotten Hana from the father, he never would have become, he would not have agreed to become an apotropos in the first place. And just because you're going to make him take a shvua, he's not going to not agree. He's not going to hold back from becoming an apotropos. He knows he owes the father a favor, and even if that means he's going to have to take a shvua in the end, so it won't discourage him from becoming an apotropos. Minu Bezin lo yishava. If, however, he was appointed by Bezin, he does not take a shvua. Milsa ba'alma hudav le beidina v'yiramas le shvua asil minuay, because he's doing a favor for Bezin. Bezin wants him to become an apotropos. Fine, I'll do them a favor. But if you're going to make me take a shvua, forget it. No favors if I'm going to have to take a shvua for it. Abasholom rechilaf advar. Abishal says, no, it's the exact reverse. My time, oh, why? Minu bezin yishava bayanodka nafik ala kala de inishmahemnahu, the hasamech ale beidina, mishum shvua la silim nuiminhu. He gets a tremendous hano when Bezin invites him to be an apotropos. Bezin basically cements his reputation as a trustworthy person. Here, Bezin tapped him to be the guy to take care of the Yisomim. So he's willing to, more than willing to take a shvua to enhance his own reputation in such a way. Avi Yisomim lo yishava. But if he was appointed by the Avi Yisomim, he does not take a shvua. Milsa be'alma u'davad la'hadadi v'yiramas le'shvua asilim nui. He's a friend. He's doing a favor for a friend. So if you make him take a shvua, he's not going to be so willing to do the favor for a friend. It does not enhance his reputation a great deal when the father trusts him. Amar of Chanan Barami, Amar Shmuel, Hilchsak Abishol. We paskin like Abishol. Even though the Gemara says that the very next line of Gemara is going to sound not that way. Tanya of Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, Zev izeh yishava, v'alach kedvar, that they both
both have to take a shvua. Both of you is pointed by Avi Yisom, and if he was pointed by Beis Din, he has to take a shvua, and we paskin that way.
So Tosus points out, we paskin like the first Hilchasa, not like the Halacha Kedvar over here, and he shows why. Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava Kamei the Rabbi Avo, Abchobus Shemino Avi Yisom Yishava, Mneshu Nosi Sachar. Now, Abchobus, who was appointed by the father of the Yisomim, has to take a shvua because he's like a Shomer Sachar. Amalei, At Isis Kava Vakayalis Lei. He says, I don't understand. How can you make such a declaration that he's a Shomer Sachar? Are you paying him? Who's paying him that you say that he's a Shomer Sachar? The Apotropos says, this isn't a paying job. No, we don't mean that he's actually a Shomer Sachar, but that he has a din like a Shomer Sachar. It's as if he's getting benefit from it, and therefore we have the right to make him take a Shvuah.